Okay. My scripture reading is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, then we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words of comfort and encouragement. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one in this service today. And we ask you to bless the families and bless the person. Heavenly Father, we ask you to work within the thoughts and the verses that we will read, and let them to help each one of us as you would help. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask, and amen. And my text to you today is the verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 3. So that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. My message to you today is concerning trouble. And I would call my message, Here Comes Trouble. We might also say, When Trouble Comes. When we read that verse 3, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions or troubles, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. It's for sure that we might say, here comes trouble. And we know for sure that as long as we live this life, trouble is going to come. Is it possible not to get disturbed when these troubles, afflictions, persecutions come? Perhaps not. But this chapter of Paul writing to the Thessalonians does shed light on how our thoughts and our actions should be and our words should be to each other and to ourselves as we live our lives and as trouble will definitely come to us from time to time. This particular letter to the Thessalonians is thought to have been the earliest of Paul's letters that he wrote to the various churches that he helped establish all over that area of Israel and the Mediterranean. The earliest, and it was said to have been written around 54 A.D. And of course it's said that our Lord and Savior lived to about somewhere in the neighborhood of, say, 30 A.D. So this was quite a few years after our Lord died and went back to the Father. This chapter of Paul to the Thessalonians was written while he was at Corinth, Greece. And it was not long after he had visited and established that church at Thessalonica, which was part of Macedonia. And naturally, not being long after Paul had established that church and the people there, he was very concerned about their welfare, about how they was doing, whether they was keeping the faith, whether they were still abiding in the words of the doctrines, the words that he had left with them as establishing the Christian church there. But it's interesting when we think about it that Paul, while writing this particular letter to Thessalonians, was actually he himself, as he always was, under attack there at Corinth. He always seemed to be faced with heated opposition everywhere. Because when you think about it, he was going into areas and establishing a new walk. He was teaching Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And of course the churches were usually the Jewish Orthodox churches. And naturally his teaching was different because he was teaching Jesus Christ. And so you can imagine that this went against the grain of some of the established religious leaders and their churches and their doctrines. So Paul was usually under some sort of opposition, and oftentimes heated oppositions in which at times he was even beat and put out of town and sent on his way, sometimes had to flee for his life. So he himself was even under attack in one city while riding to this city that we're reading about at Thessalonica. He advises these people at Thessalonica to stand fast in the Lord and don't be moved. Don't be overly concerned or anxious about these afflictions or things that are coming to your way as a result of your belief, of you having beliefs that are different from the majority of the people around you. Let's go and read in again verse 3 as he writes this letter and speaking to them at Thessalonica, so that no one of you would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Paul let them know it's not going to be a bed of roses. when you become a Christian. Just because you are don't mean that things are going to just be rosy and happy all the time. Afflictions and problems are going to come your way. Let's go to verse 8. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. And Paul was letting them know, you know, we love you. We stand by you in all that you are facing. And we ask for you to keep the faith that we delivered to you in establishing your church there. And stand firm in the Lord. And each one of us need to take that admonition personally to ourselves. We need to ask ourselves the question, are we standing firm in the Lord? When problems and troubles and afflictions come our way, almost each day of our life, sometimes it seems, and sometimes almost more than one time in one day, how do we stand? Do we stand firm in the knowledge that God stands with us, that we can go to Him for all the help that we need and the guidance in case that we don't know which way to turn or what to do? God is there for us. He wants us to know that He is and that He really cares for us. The Word says these very words. He loves us, He is love, and He cares for us as His family, as His literal sons and daughters. When trouble comes, just expect it. How do we deal with trouble? What do we do when trouble comes? Well, number one, just expect that it's going to come. It's inevitable. When we live this life, as long as we live in this flesh and blood, breathe, problems going to happen. Trouble's going to come. How are we going to react to it? We know that it's going to. Jesus said that it was going to happen. We just wells to be prepared for it. One of the best ways that we can do that is to keep the faith. Know that Jesus Christ, Yeshua of Nazareth, and Yahweh the Father loves us. And they will always be there for us. But we've got to know, trouble's going to come. It's going to happen. It's natural. We've got to deal with it. In verse 3, it says, so for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Destined that afflictions are going to come and trouble is going to come. Let's go to Matthew 10 and 16. Matthew 10 and 16. When trouble comes, behold, this is Jesus speaking to His disciples. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Jesus also said to His followers, you're going to need to take up your cross and follow me. And do you know, just as trouble came to Jesus, just as He was persecuted by the ones around Him in many and various ways all His life, even though He was the only begotten Son of the Father, trouble still came His way. If it came to Jesus, it's certainly going to come to us. And so he tells us, take up your cross and follow me. And that means partly that we are to share in his afflictions and the trouble that came to him. It will come to us. Trouble comes with life, and we need to accept that fact and expect trouble. And that's the number one thought in being able to face trouble when trouble comes. How else should we react? Number two, we need to refuse Satan an entrance through the door of trouble. When trouble comes through us, and it seems like someone has opened the door and we are being bombarded with all kind of problems and headaches, shut the door. Refuse Satan an entrance into our lives, into our homes. Speak to Satan. Tell him he's not welcome. The Bible does say, get behind me, Satan. Jesus himself spoke to Satan as Satan tried to tempt Jesus. You know, if Satan came against Jesus and tried to persuade him to go his way, you know he's going to do that to you. But you have to be strong. Just as Jesus showed the example and speak to Satan that you have no place in my life or my home or the ones that I love. Get behind me, Satan. The Bible says, let's go to James 4 and 3. James 4 and verse 7, excuse me. James 4 and 7. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist Satan, and he will flee. That's what to do when trouble comes. Satan is the author of all lies and deception, the root of all evil. Resist Satan, and the word says he will flee from you. Get behind me, Satan. Speak to him. Let's see what verse 8 says. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What to do when trouble comes? Draw nearer to God. Put more of God's word in your mind. The more of God's word that you have in mind, in your mind, the less room there is for anything else. Problems, troubles, bad thoughts, depression. Put more God in. There will be less of anything else. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let's see what Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22. Go to Luke 22, verse 31. Verse 31. Simon, Simon, or Peter, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is saying to Peter, Satan wants you Peter, but you are mine, and I'm going to pray the Father that your reaction will be to hold the faith, to stay true to God. And when you do that, then go out and show your brothers how to also. Go out and strengthen your brothers. Refuse Satan an entrance through the door of trouble. He's going to use trouble for himself if possible. He's going to use the trouble that comes against you to try to get you to fail so that you will then go further and further away from God. That's what Satan wants. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what Satan is after. Primarily, separate you from God. We need to, thirdly, face trouble with prayer. Did you know the Apostle Paul was in a habit of praying earnestly for the brethren? As he went out from Jerusalem, he went to all of these different cities and he started establishing churches in Christ there, telling them about the good news of the kingdom of God and Jesus coming to this earth and living the life he did and of the salvation that he brought. And he established these churches, one in Thessalonica, one in Philippi, the Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, all of these cities, Paul went and established trouble, established churches. And in all of these places, he did opposition, he faced trouble. But he was in a habit. Everywhere he went, he thought about the brethren and the other churches, and he were constantly praying for them to hold fast the faith that was delivered to him and the word that was brought to him. He prayed earnestly. Let's read in chapter 3 of Thessalonians, verse 9. Let's go to chapter 3 and verse 9. And read a little bit of Paul's reaction to this church. Thessalonians 3 and verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. He constantly thought about these brethren and the problems and the troubles that they were facing in the cities in which they were established. He knew that they were going to endure afflictions and problems with the people in those cities because of their belief and their faith as they were establishing it. You know, the only way that trouble should get us down is down on our knees in prayers. When trouble comes, think of God and His deliverance, His delivering power, His sustaining power. And partly this day and all the days, the appointed days of God, are all days to remember God's delivering power, of His delivering His people at the various times. It has been said that courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. Let's go to Psalms 50 and 15. We need courage in facing our problems, and God is always there to give that. And in Psalms, the psalmist writes, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." That tells us what to do in the day of trouble. Remember God. Not only remember Him, call upon Him, and He will answer. And then we need to, in addressing and reacting to trouble that comes our way, we need to be willing to reach through trouble to help others. Let's go to verse 12 of Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. And Paul really advises the Thessalonians to try to look past the problems that come to us. Try to look past our immediate problems to others' needs and concerns. In other words, don't try to get so caught up in the problems that come your way. Try to look over them and through them to be able to see the needs of others and to try to help by addressing the needs of others. In verse 12, "And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you." He's encouraging them to stand fast, to hold your faith. He says, "I know you're having problems. I know you're having trouble. I know you're being afflicted by conditions there in the city that you are, and because of your faith. But try to look past this and try to still maintain the love that you have for each other, and then extend it on past that to others." There is the words of a song which says, "Reach out and touch a soul that is weary. Reach out and touch a stranger in despair. Reach out and touch the heart that is seeking." We need to reach out to others, even though we ourselves are facing tremendous problems. Our own trouble will definitely get smaller as we look upon others who no doubt have troubles much greater than ours. There was once a country preacher, and he was asked by a person in his congregation what the most comforting verse in the Bible was. And his response was to say that this was the words, "And it came to pass." This was the preacher's answer. The most comforting words in the Bible. "And it came to pass." And the person looked at the preacher and he said, well, that's just the start of a verse. And the preacher said to him, well, to me, it's most comforting because it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And to that minister, he knew that trouble was just for a season. And that even though it seemed dark in the valley that he was going through, that he knew that light would shine on the hilltops and that the valley would just be for a short while. God is saying to us, be patient. God is not finished. Let's go to verse 13 of Thessalonians 3. So that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Be patient. That day is coming that Jesus is ushering in ultimate peace, ultimate joy, eternal life with him, where all tears will be wiped away and all troubles and problems will cease. Let's learn and let's see how. And remember these words when problems and troubles come our way. How are we going to deal with it? How are we going to face the problems that are inevitable? If you will, bow with me in prayer. And I'd like for you to first, if you would, stand. And we're going to read our Numbers 6 and 24. Yahweh, Almighty God of the universe, says to his family and to each one of us to say to each other, meaning it sincerely from our hearts, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you and give you peace. That's a tremendous way to think on this particular Sabbath and to live in the days coming. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly